lights of Denver are shining like diamonds, like 10,000 jewels in the sky.
I've been traveling around this city of Denver all week, and it's so easy to get around. Ramps everywhere, public transit that's accessible. This changing city is redefining itself, making public transit work where there was none before. It's exciting to see so much modern infrastructure being built here. And I come from a city, New York, that hasn't built a major new bridge for a century. This is a place where redesign is changing the landscape, and that feels exciting and new, as though the whole community is caught up in change, seeing its benefits. Design aims for a higher quality of life, but does it only reach those who can afford it? Ever had sticker shock at a Uniqlo store or a West Elm store? It's exactly the kind of question that our next guest is thinking about. Kiga Vid is a Danish designer and CEO of Index, Designed to Improve Life. It's an NGO that pushes designers to find sustainable solutions that close the gap of inequality. And she's hard at work right here in Denver, trying to harvest the potential she sees in all American cities, empowering citizens to act like designers, whether they use that word or not.
Design is something you do all the time. Someone does design in another way. They train it. They go to school and learn it. But you always do design when you reshuffle your environment. That's kind of design as well. So I see design merely as a tool that we use to create an environment that gives meaning to our lives.
So many institutions are concerned about the inequality that exists in terms of income, in terms of experience, access to digital communications. There's a whole range of issues that there's radical inequality. What kind of design rectifies the inequality, and what kind of design sets cues in the environment that causes people to resist that inequality? What kinds of design choices would you make that represents one and one that represents maybe the other option?
I would say inequality. And right now, as you know, in Europe, we're facing a very big struggle in terms of refugees coming in, which is one of the biggest, more significant signals of inequality right now in the world, as I see it. Inequality is addressed by education, mainly. So design really good education and make it accessible for people. Another thing is that inequality happens when you don't understand other people. We all tend, all of us, to live in the environment with people we know. People that has the same income and the same education, the same experience, the same culture as we do. So what design can do to counter inequality is also to design ways that we can meet other people that are not like us. That's actually one of the tools we can use.
What is a tangible design tool that crosses the language barrier in ways that were unimaginable a generation ago, do you think?
There's a lot of community design right now, for instance, for elderly people, where you, instead of getting food to elderly people that cannot make food for themselves, what you do now is you tend to bring the elderly people outside of their houses to meet other people, to meet other cultures. Another one is Duolingo, which is, of course, only a website or an app-based design. You learn to understand how other people speak. And that's an amazing app that was designed at Carnegie Mellon in the U.S. So that's a way of understanding different languages and understand different people by that.
You have four basic ideas, drivers for bringing design more into the mainstream. Can you describe what those are?
When we look upon design, we think there are three areas that are very important. One is that you inspire people, show them the tangible examples of how design can actually improve your life. Then we need to educate people. That's another example. And then we think it's important to reach out, so we have engage. So design does not only become an idea, a great, beautiful idea, but also is realized. Another way to look upon this kind of design is that normally when you assess design, you would only look at the form, the beauty, the colors, the materials. That's the traditional way of looking upon design. When we look upon design, we also assess the impact of the design. How big is the challenge that you address? How relevant is it? How relevant is it to how many people? And then we look into the context of the design. Coming from a very design-savvy nation, which is Denmark, we tend to believe that the design we like is globally likable, but design is about culture as well. So if you want to address a big challenge in another country or in developing countries, for instance, you need to know the context there. You need to go there. You cannot sit in our part of the world and design for India. You need to understand the context and the culture and the ethics in India.
Even in Denmark, does the ethos of good design make its way into every part of the society? For instance, is Copenhagen a utopia of good design if I wander around the city?
Actually, yes, I would say that. Design in Denmark is based on our welfare society, which is an old welfare society with the principle of having the biggest shoulders carrying the biggest loads. So our design tradition is made from this principle. So we tend to take care of people also in our design, which on a very basic level means we have a lot of street light. It feels safe in Copenhagen. We have a lot of bike lanes. Actually, nearly 60% of all Copenhageners are biking to work. But I like Copenhagen because it's designed on a human scale. So many cities are designed to be humongous, big, you know, and the buildings are big and so on. In Copenhagen, you have 5 stories, and that's it. And that makes it more easy for people to understand, I think. It feels people-like, I think.
What's the experience of Europe in changing its strategy when changes in population, changes in ethnicity happen? Mm-hmm. And do you think Europe is good at shifting strategies in midstream?
I think it's really difficult for Europe right now. Europe were like quite seclusive for many, 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 many years, for centuries. And now we have all these new people coming in, and that's nobody knows what to do about it. The other thing that in terms of sustainability, I think the European cities are really doing a good job on the practical infrastructural level. The cities handled really well. But on the human scale, in terms of taking different people in that are different from the original inhabitants, it's really, really, really difficult.
Kiga Vid is a Danish designer and CEO of Index, designed to improve life, an NGO that inspires designers to find sustainable solutions to improve the lives of others. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Copenhagen might be one of the best designed cities for people, but maybe not for recent migrants. Denmark's parliament is expected to vote Tuesday in favor of drastic reforms curbing asylum seekers' rights, including delaying family reunifications and confiscating migrants' valuables.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.